Back here on the McFarland Show on this Monday afternoon, we now react to yesterday's game between the Titans and the Bengals.
From Richmond 96-7!
And now, it's time for Darren and Justin's Big Game Reaction. Sponsored by ABS Communications. ABS Communications is a top five AT&T authorized agent with over 200 years of AT&T technical experience. Call Mark and the gang today at 615-349-8588 or visit them online at abscomm.net. ABS Communications, they make complex simple.
He's David Beauclair. He was there yesterday as well. Titans fall to the Bengals yet again in Nashville. He covers the team, SI.com channel, publisher of all Titans on Fan Nation Network. David, how are we doing?
I'm good, boys. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Doing better than, unfortunately, the Titans. What was your takeaway from yesterday's 2016 loss?
This team, I guess, you know, nothing has changed in my impression of this team. The big difference is they got beat on the line of scrimmage yesterday in a way that they haven't been beat on the line of scrimmage for most of this season. You know, Derrick Henry had a 9-yard gain on the first carry, and you thought, okay, you know, here they go. They're gonna do what the Titans do, and then he had no running room the rest of the day. And you know, the Bengals, I mean, Samaje Perine is a good pro player, right? He's been around for a while, but certainly as good as that run defense has been, you didn't think a guy like that would be able to get anything done against that defense, but he did. And then even more interesting to me was Joe Burrow's ability to get out of the pocket and scramble and make things happen with his legs. I mean, no one's ever going to confuse that guy with Lamar Jackson, but I thought he was particularly effective when he was able to tuck the ball and scramble yesterday, which, you know, you think back to the playoff game, he absolutely was not able to do that. Had nowhere to go, no time to do anything most of that game, and he had a lot more time to decide what to do and where to go yesterday. So I think that was another good physical game, but in this case, the other team stood up to the Titans' physicality and probably exceeded it most of the day.
And Joe Burrow hit Trenton Irwin, who I said out loud in the press box, who's number 16? Who is that guy?
What, exactly.
Is that a fan that suited thinking. Up? Like, what happened? How did he get on the field? Who is that?
Yeah,
no, by the way, made a great catch.
Made a great catch, you know, and it sort of made you think back to the Raiders game and Mack Hollins, you know, who, you know, you came in with the Raiders. You're talking about Devontae Adams and Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow, who didn't play in that game, but then, you know, Mack Hollins goes crazy. There seems to, you know, that seems to be a little bit of a thing right now. But, you know, the thing with Burrow running, this is I wrote about this today or yesterday afternoon. The Titans have now three times this year opposing quarterbacks have run for 25 yards or more, which, you know, that's not a huge number, but it's guys who have been able to get out of the pocket and make things happen against them. And it was Patrick Mahomes a couple weeks ago. It was Daniel Jones in week one, and it was Joe Burrow yesterday. And that's right, the Titans have lost all three of those games. So I think there's something there in terms of the Titans' pass rush has to be coordinated, has to have guys in the right spots, not allowing escape lanes and whatnot for this defense to be as effective as it can be. That certainly wasn't the case yesterday.
It's pretty scary that Cincinnati was without Joe Mixon and Jamar Chase and still found a way to come in here and beat the Titans at their own game.
Especially if you look at the standings, the conference standings right now today, that, you know, Titans are still in the number three spot where they were a week ago. This time it's by virtue of the fact that they have one more conference win than the Baltimore Ravens do. But, you know, last week in number six, which is who they would play, was New England. This week, that's right, it's Cincinnati now in the number six spot. So if the season were to end today, Cincinnati would be coming back down here for for another playoff game, and certainly from a fan's perspective, I don't think anybody wants to see that right now. I mean, you even go back, you know, 2 years ago, before the Bengals got to where they are right now, when they were going through their growing pains with Joe Burrow and everything, you know, the Titans went up there and they lost to the Bengals too. You know, Joe Burrow seems to have their number right now in a way that, you know, the Titans kind of do to a certain degree with Patrick Mahomes, for example, or some other guys. But, you know, this is, if I'm a Titans fan, I don't want to see the Bengals anywhere in the postseason until it's absolutely necessary this year.
When your nickname is the King, obviously you're held in very high regards, and rightfully so. Derrick Henry has earned the nickname. He's earned all the accolades that we give him year in and year out because he's been the best running back in the National Football League. He looked actually not even pedestrian yesterday. He looked below average yesterday. I couldn't believe how many times he was hit before the line of scrimmage, David, yesterday by the Bengals. Looked pedestrian the last several weeks. What do you think is going on? Is it Ben Jones' absence? Is it just they've been playing more physical defenses? Do you think Derrick Henry is starting to wear down? Like, what, you know, where would you go with that?
Well, I think for the most part, yesterday's performance is on the offensive line. You know, that if you, I think I've said this, I said this with you a few weeks back, Darren. If you go back to 2016 and the draft, the pre-draft reports, even, you know, the book on Derrick Henry has never changed. What people said about him before the Titans drafted him, what they say about him now, it's always the same. If you can get to him in his first couple steps, before he gets up to speed, you know, before he gets to and through the line of scrimmage, you can get him to the ground. He's not that much of a problem. It's when he gets up to speed and starts to encounter smaller guys in the forms of linebackers and defensive backs that he becomes a real, real problem. And you know, that's what you saw yesterday. The Bengals were just getting to him early and getting him to the ground. Now, that being said, I think it's pretty clear what we've seen this year that we are seeing the decline of Derrick Henry that we all knew was bound to come. You know, running backs in this league, particularly running backs who carry the kind of load he's carried, a running back who's coming off the foot surgery, and I look at I look at the big play yesterday, the screen pass that he turned into a 69-yard gain. But not only did he get caught from behind, he got caught with such authority that a guy was able to hit him and go after the football and knock the football out. And of course, you know, Treylon Burks fell on into the end zone. It was a touchdown. That's great. But you know, I think there's no way to know this for sure, but 2 years ago, Derrick Henry doesn't get caught on that play, right? I mean, and we've seen that a few times this season and in recent weeks where he's in the open field and where guys just never could get an angle on him before, or if they did, you know, it wasn't enough to knock him out of bounds or too far off stride or whatever. That's not the case this year. Now, that, you know, that's not to say he's done. I mean, certainly, you know, he's number two in the league in rushing still this year. He's got 1,048 yards. He's got 10 rushing touchdowns. He's still a good, effective running back who is the most important piece of this offense right now. But he is certainly not the Derrick Henry that we saw in 2019, 2020, and the first part of 2021 before he got hurt. And I do think it does create some concern, and it'll really bear watching here, because I mean, that's been the thing about Henry's career, right? Is he's always gotten better late in games, late in the season. Like his November yards per carry and December yards per carry are way better historically than September and October. He's trending in the opposite direction this year. So as we're moving into December here, we really kind of need to keep an eye on that.
David Beauclair on the line with us. We know they have been able to give up big chunks of yards. Pass defense has not been good at the bottom of the league. They've been very good against the run. But how concerned are you? I mean, T. Higgins carved them up yesterday, and I know he's a really good receiver. Christian Watson is a rookie for the Packers. He carved them up on Thursday Night Football. How concerning is right now their pass defense to you?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's been a concern all year. You go back to Sterling Shepard with a big play in Week One by the Giants. You know, the Bills had several big plays in Week Two, and you know that was all the talk early in the year. And you know, again, this goes back to the line play when the defensive line is disrupting things, when they're getting to the quarterback with just a 4 or 5 man pressure. And not giving him time to stand back there and take those deep shots, the defense looks a whole lot better. But with you know, Joe Burrow had time to do those sorts of things yesterday, and you know, Aaron Rodgers had time. Both those guys were only sacked once after, you know, there was a 6-game streak there where the Titans had at least 3 sacks in a game. So you know, is this you know, have teams sort of started to figure out how to defend the Titans up front attack there, or is it these guys are wearing down, kind of similar to what we're saying to Derrick Henry, or is it just a little lull that happens in the season? I don't know, but it's certainly not a trending in a positive direction when you talk about the next opponent on the schedule and all the ways that they can attack you and create some big plays and that sort of thing. So I would suspect there's a respectable level of concern within those coaches' offices right now and trying to figure out how to get back to what we had seen for a good stretch of the season here.
David, what are they doing at kicker? I'll just pause it there.
Here's what I think. I think you go all the way back into the offseason. I think the plan was for Ryan Stonehouse and Caleb Shudak to be their punter and their kicker. I think they wanted to, if at all possible, go cheap as possible at those two positions. And, you know, because this is a team that's been sort of up against the salary cap. They had to redo Zach Cunningham's contract. They've done a couple other things this year to free up some money and that sort of thing. So I think that's what they wanted to happen was Shudak and Stonehouse to get those jobs, force the veterans out. You let these two grow up together over the next couple years. And what happened, what have you. You know, Stonehouse obviously worked out. It's worked out fabulously for them in a lot of ways. Shudak got hurt, couldn't practice during training camp, did nothing in the preseason and whatnot. Now you get to a situation where finally he's healthy, and it just so happens to be at a time where Randy Bullock is hurt. You had Josh Lambeau in here last week, a veteran. You know, it would have been easy to stick with him, but I think this was a case where you look at the standings and you go, you know what? We've got some room to play around here. We're almost certainly going to win the division and have at least one home playoff game. We can take a chance in this game against Cincinnati, give the kid a chance to kick in a game, and we'll get a sense of whether he can be our kicker next year. I don't think even if he had gone 5 for 5 on field goals and 3 of them were for 50 yards or whatever, like, I don't think they would have said, okay, Randy Bullock, and you know, we'll see you later. I think at this point in the season, when Bullock's healthy, you have to go back to Bullock. But I think they are they're working ahead to next year so that they have a kicker and a punter, both on rookie contracts for, you know, the next several years going forward.
So all of this is just dress rehearsal. All the musical chairs here is dress rehearsal then.
I think that's what yesterday was. Yeah. Okay. I mean, Bullock's hurt and the, you know, the one thing you can't have happen and you know, it was probably the way the week went because they didn't rule out Randy Bullock until Saturday. Right. I think sort of reading between the lines of what Craig Aukerman said on Wednesday, what Mike Vrabel said throughout the week, I think Bullock can probably kick against the Bengals, but what we can't have happen is for him to be in pregame warmups and re-aggravate it, or on his first kick of the game to hurt it again. And so let's not take that chance. We saw Josh Lambeau last week he's out there, that's fine, but let's give the kid a dress rehearsal, give him the sense of kicking in a game, and then in the off season we'll fire up that competition again, and if it's anything close, we're going to give it to the kid.
Want to ask you about and listen, David Beauclair, I respect you deeply, David. You have covered about four or five times more football games than I have, and I've been to a few. I've covered about 80 or 90 games. You've gone way beyond that. I have never, ever seen myself, David, through years of MTSU football, TSU football, Vandy football, and Titans football, I have never seen the roughing on the snapper call during a field goal. I've never seen it myself. I'm not saying it's not a penalty. I'm just saying I've never actually seen a flag thrown for that. I've seen leaping. I have seen roughing the kicker. I've seen a penalty where a guy climbed up on another guy to get a higher angle on the kick, you know, try to block the kick. I have never seen that. Have you seen that ever flagged before?
I have, and it's been a while. You know, it was. I'm trying to remember when that rule was put into place. It's relatively speaking a new rule, and I want to say maybe 10 to 12 years in the book. And it's one of those things because, you know, teams were starting to take advantage of the snapper there. And I'll say this, no one in the locker room was complaining about that call. Like Kevin Byard even laughed yesterday. He said, yeah, it looked to me like two guys hit him, you know, and it's just, you can't hit the snapper around the head or neck area. This is all concussion related stuff. And the defenseless player language is part of that rule too. It's all connected to that. I didn't see it. I have to say I haven't gone back yet to watch it closely, but it sounds by everybody's reaction to it like it was pretty egregious on the part of Kevin Strong and or Tierre Tart, probably both of them. And, you know, it's one of those things, in a way, you can't fault their aggressiveness, right? I mean, it's a huge moment in the game. They know that. They want to try and block the kick, and they probably just, you know, lost their teaching for a moment in terms of what they're, you know, what they're instructed to do and what not to do. But that was that certainly created an anticlimactic final 2 minutes yesterday, didn't it?
Oh, it certainly did. I've never seen that penalty before. I'm not saying it's not a penalty. I'm just saying I've never seen anybody throw a flag for it ever before. So that part caught me off guard. Last question I've got for you, David, is this. If they continue to, and when I say they, I mean opposing teams, continue to neutralize Derrick Henry and his run effectiveness here, how long is it before the Titans, and I know Coach Vrabel has been talking about the fact they want to run the football, but how long is it before they're going to have to tweak their offensive philosophy a little bit when it comes to throwing the ball perhaps a little bit more, even on first down and on situations where they would like to run the ball, but they just can't?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Mike Vrabel was asked sort of that same question today. It was posed to him as, how hard is it to get away from Derrick Henry when things aren't going well during the run game during the course of a game? And he Mike Vrabel said basically, you know, Derrick Henry is a unique player in this league, and you don't want to ignore him in your play calling and in your game planning unless you absolutely have to. And Derrick Henry's, we said he's hit a little bit of a lull here in his production, but this is still a guy who had five straight 100-yard games in a row, a guy who averaged 6.8 yards per carry in back-to-back games against Houston and Kansas City, you know, both road games. He's got a 219-yard game this season, which is now the second best game by any running back this season. And you look at that wide receiver group, it's not like in years past where you could say, okay, well, we're just going to throw it to A.J. Brown, or we're going to throw it to Jonnu Smith and do the things we can do with him, or even such as he was last year, you know, Julio Jones. And I mean, that Robert Woods is a good player. Austin Hooper is a good player. Treylon Burks is a young player. None of those guys right now scare a defense enough to make them say, you know, we've got to change our thinking defensively. So it's you know, it's up to the Titans to find ways to do what they do, and what they do is drag teams down in the mud with them and try to win low scoring games. They've done that more often than not this year. Yesterday it didn't happen. You know, I think the one thing that everybody can hang their hats on right now is the passing game did come through at Green Bay, and Ryan Tannehill had a spectacular night, and Hooper and Burks both had big games, and you know, it's possible for this team to do that, but you've got to, you know, they've got to be really, really good, and I think they have to be playing against a defense that's closer to ordinary to have that kind of performance again.
David, we appreciate the visit. Now we'll have all week to just try to think, you know, of some type of storyline for the Philadelphia game. You know,
I don't know what we're going to come up with.
Any of us are going to talk.
I know.
About.
Good luck with that. We'll rack our brains. You rack your brain, and we'll see if we can come up with something. And we'll
shoot
talk
you a text
later.
If we'll let you know, man.
All right.
Thanks, David.
You guys have a great day. Thanks
too,
for having
too.
Me.
Thank you, sir.
David Beauclair at Beauclair Sports on Twitter. Give him a follow. Covers the Titans. Fan Nation Network on SI.com. Channel 615-844-5600 is our Cure hotline. Phone lines are wide open the rest of the hour. We'll come back. More of the McFarland Show next.
Are you looking for a trusted partner who knows AT&T business inside and out? ABS Communications is an organization built on the premise that telecom solutions and working with companies like AT&T can often be complicated, and the customer needs someone to help them navigate through these complexities. They make complex simple. Whether it's helping maintain, manage, or secure your business, ABS Communications is here to help all your business telecom and mobility needs. Their business was built with the goal of simplifying the process of connectivity for the customer and establishing a long-term relationship of trust through transparency and accountability. ABS Communications is a top 5 AT&T authorized agent with over 200 years of AT&T technical experience. You can call Mark and the gang at 615-349-8588, or you can visit their website at abscomm.net. And remember, mention the McFarland Show to ABS, and you could get up to $250 in a Visa gift card for new ABS business customers.
You know, football fans make this Thanksgiving to remember a FanDuel One, America's number one sport book. Yeah.